Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome. Sit back and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am thrilled because with us today we have Dr. Karen Kann. Karen is a medical doctor, doctor of light medicine, and a multiple number one best-selling author and founder of Topakan Healing Method. Her mission is to empower sensitive souls to use their gifts as superpowers, to heal themselves, fulfill their purpose, and create a life of joy. What she really is passionate about is seeing them shine in their light so they can pull the world out of darkness. And she's also releasing her new book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower. Karen, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Vicki. It's my pleasure. I'm so excited we're here together.
I am too, and I'm so excited about the work you're doing and the fact that, you know, you have a new book release. And so what I'd love for you to share with us, for those that may not have had the really good fortune of getting to know you yet, a little bit about how you came to your purpose and passion.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I was a kid who was really, really good at school and was one of those weirdos, I suppose, that was that now we call sensitive souls, that was just really quiet and, you know, goody-two-shoes and always getting good grades and that kind of thing. And I just always wanted to help people, and I was very generous, and I was like that throughout my whole life. And I ended up being a medical doctor like so many of my other Chinese-Canadian friends were. They became doctors. And that's kind of a thing in our culture. And I thought I was doing exactly what I was supposed to do, you know, helping people and delivering babies and stitching people up and, you know, preventive medicine and doing all this stuff. Unfortunately, myself, I was getting very, very stressed out. I was in a very underserved area, and I had a lot of responsibilities. And what happened was I was trying to be everything to everyone, not really realizing that because I was so sensitive to other people's emotions, that I was really taking it on. And it was like wearing like 50 jackets that weren't mine. And so my body just kept breaking down and breaking down until finally I got sick. So my passion and purpose in life kind of really shifted at that point because I had to get myself better. I got so sad and depressed that I almost was suicidal. I was in so much pain. I had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, ended up with autoimmune disease, multiple chemical sensitivities. I mean, you name it, I pretty much had it. And I was given, wow, you know, a diagnosis that was, hey, you're partially disabled. And in Western medicine, people do not get better from that. And I knew that as a medical doctor. But being stubborn, which I've now reframed as the word tenacious, I decided, okay, this is not okay. I am not going to be disabled for the rest of my life. I love to figure skate. There are things that I had not done yet that I wanted to do. So I just made a decision in what people call the dark night of the soul, crying myself to sleep. And one night I just decided that, okay, I have to do something. What do I do? I got what people would call guidance. And it was very strange to me then because I was very, you know, left brain medical doctor and just felt like this voice came through. It was my own voice, but it was like someone who was like a calmer version of me came through and just said, you have a choice. And of course I was crying myself to sleep, so I'm sobbing and crying and trying not to make too much noise because my husband at the time was sleeping. But the voice was very persistent and said, you have a choice. And I decided at that point that I need to get better and do whatever it took to get better because I decided to live. I didn't want to kill myself. I decided to live. And so by getting sick and then deciding to live, I started to attract the right people, the right teachers, the right books, the right programs, the right workshops, you know, to get me on my way, and realizing that there's a whole other world of healing that I was not exposed to going through medical school. And it was naturally attractive to me, something that I had pushed away because I wanted to be a quote-unquote real doctor. So then I realized that a lot of other people were like me. They were sensitive. They were taking on other people's emotions. They were freaking out. They were having all sorts of physical issues, too, related to their sensitivity. And then the light started going off in my mind, ding, 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 because I was like, oh, wait a second. So we are special, quote-unquote special. And according to research, 30%, there was a study done in 2018, 30% of us humans are actually in this highly sensitive group. And just decades ago, about 30 years ago, the number was about 20%. So now the experts feel it's about 30%. And so these 30% actually have more difficulty in many aspects of their life and their relationships. They tend to have allergies, autoimmunity. They tend to be more in depression and things like that because they're feeling too much. And so I decided that since I got myself better, in fact, from the physical issues, I got myself better very quickly in about 2 years with various different holistic medical approaches. And then all the other sensitivities and allergies and kind of more annoying symptoms that I had, I got rid of over time, just understanding how to harness my sensitivity as a superpower, if you will, instead of as a curse or a problem. So what was once a problem, because I was feeling too much, I could actually rein that in and control it and be able to use it if I needed to, which made me a very popular doctor because I was incredibly intuitive. And would know what people needed before they knew what they needed. So that's a long answer to, I came to my passion and purpose in life by getting sick.
That is just an amazing story. Fantastic. So why did you decide to write the book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower?
Well, I started out, my first number one best-selling book was called Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And that was kind of documenting my journey to healing my fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And then it had some body, mind, spirit things that we dealt with in the book. And honestly, I was trying to understand or learn about marketing at that time. And I thought, well, I've always wanted to write a book, so why don't I go ahead and write this book? And I kind of had a deadline to do it. So I thought, okay, great. I have this book. It's a tome of 416 pages. It was a big book. But then I realized that first book that I wrote really didn't address some of the more esoteric, if you will, things that some of us sensitive souls go through. Like, for example, even adults, but we've heard it more from children, you know, some of us see ghosts, you know, some of us see spirits, some of us see auras, some of us hear things that other people can't hear or feel things other people can't feel. And I decided that I really needed to communicate that there were ways around it. And I had more and more of a tribe growing online outside of my practice who were highly sensitive, who had all sorts of weird symptoms that other doctors had no idea what to do with them, even the naturopathic doctors. They were more like a shaman would be more helpful than a doctor to try to get them better. So that's why I started to focus on writing this book, because I really wanted these people to know that there really isn't anything wrong with them. It's just that they have sensitivities that they can feel more energies than the average person. And because of that, sometimes they assume some of the symptoms they're feeling is actually their stuff, and it's not. And so they go through their life learning from their parents and teachers and church elders that they just got to, like, toughen up, or they have to pray more, or they have to stop being so sensitive or grow a thicker skin, right, to try to be normal. But I wrote this book because I wanted them to understand that normal is highly overrated and it's not even real, and their sensitivity does not have to be a curse. It can be a blessing and a gift. And so this book goes through how to use that sensitivity as a gift so they can learn to tap into their intuition when they really need it, how to make decisions, how to clear negative energies that aren't theirs so they don't have to feel extra stuff if they don't need to, how to even know what their soul mission is. We actually have a chapter called the Soul Mission Matrix where they can extract their soul mission using some of the skills we share with them. And then some pretty amazing, fantastical stuff, which is more like Harry Potter world, like influencing the weather or travel magic, we call it, or transformational telepathy, where we resolve conflict with another person without actually even having to talk to them using this technique that I call transformational telepathy. So I just really, really, really wanted people to know that there was nothing wrong with them. They just had to have control and that ability to harness and hone those sensitivities as a superpower.
That's so wonderful. What an incredible contribution to the world, and especially to those that are super sensitive. So how would you suggest people differentiate between the idea that they're super sensitive as opposed to the fact that they might have some kind of a medical ailment? Is there a difference? Do some things sensitivity mask as medical ailments and vice versa? How does that work for someone maybe not really well informed yet on this arena but are having symptoms?
Right. I love that question. Thank you so much, Vicki. Most people who are in this camp, we're this 30% of people who are highly sensitive, pretty much know they're highly sensitive, although they may not have put a label that it's okay to be sensitive, because they were like that from the get-go, from childhood. So I'm going to share with you some examples of what life is like for a sensitive soul growing up. So when they were young, they are very, very sensitive to violence, for example. So if they saw something bad happening on TV, they would cry a lot. In fact, unfortunately, some of our boys ended up being chastised and made fun of for crying. But they might be in school, and if someone else was getting in trouble, they would cry, or they would be upset that someone else was in trouble. And some of the quote-unquote illnesses that we diagnose children with, like attention hyperactivity, ADD, those types of issues, almost all of those children are highly sensitive to one degree or another. And unfortunately, we're medicating them instead of teaching them how to use their sensitivity and be able to release the energy that isn't theirs. And I can cite so many different examples from my own practice and clients where children who would just want to explode, sometimes with violent tendencies, it's not their stuff. They're feeling other people's energies. And so when we teach them how to clear other people's energies, when they can get more grounded, when they can feel more, and we teach this in the book, feel more of that peace and calm, that inner calm themselves, and it's not really hard, actually, the technique's very easy, then they're like a completely different child. So people that have diagnoses, it doesn't mean they don't have medical problems, but the mind, body, spirit are not separate things. They're all integrated into the one. So you can have emotional issues that manifest as medical, physical issues, and same thing with some of these issues. Commonly, it's known that, especially among healers and psychics, that there's one, it's a joke, but the joke was, it's not really true anymore, but the joke was, if you see a skinny psychic, don't trust her. Because traditionally, psychics read people and they take on their energies and aren't able to buffer sometimes. They just can't stop reading some people, and that's why they get really, really big, because they're, quote-unquote, you know, really amazing psychics. And I've known some in my day as well. They're very good psychics, but they have terrible boundaries. Not everyone with autoimmunity is necessarily a highly sensitive soul. Not everyone with multiple allergies has it, but there's a higher likelihood that those that are highly sensitive do not, and here's the important part, do not respond to conventional medicine well. In fact, they usually do worse. That is like a little tip. Here's what I hear all the time. I've tried everything. I've been to X number of doctors. They've put me on this medication, that medication, done this test. They say there's nothing wrong with me. The functional medicine lab did all these diets. I did it to perfect diet, and everybody else is getting better, but not me. Those are highly sensitive souls that have not gotten handle on their superpowers, and those are the folks that I love helping the most.
That is so beautiful. Really beautiful. It's like something that you could look at as a disadvantage in life suddenly becomes your most treasured gift, as your title suggests. Sensitivity is your superpower. That is so wonderful. So for people that are just discovering that they may be a highly sensitive person in this way, what would you give them as far as some tips in getting started to just acknowledge this and move forward with this great gift that they may not be viewing it that way at the moment?
number one is a mindset shift or a paradigm shift. And the shift we kind of mentioned before, but really seeing the possibility, even if they don't believe me, but seeing the possibility that maybe their sensitivity isn't something to get rid of, that it's not a curse, it's something bad, but it's an actual gift or a skill that they just need to practice and hone so they can use it when they really need it or want to use it, and then when they don't need it, they can kind of put it away. Sort of like somebody has a sword but doesn't need to fight all the time, they can put it back in the sheath when they don't need it. So most people, when I ask them, well, would you like to connect more with your intuition and have that unlock so you can make better decisions? And they'll be, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Or I'd be like, okay, you have a conflict with someone. Would you really love to be able to resolve this conflict without having to get into a fight with someone? Oh, my gosh, that'd be so awesome. These are skills that anyone can learn, not just highly sensitive souls. It just happens that it's just a tad easier for them because they're already connected energetically to being able to tune in very easily to other energies and other information. So number one is that paradigm shift. Stop thinking that you're the problem. You know, stop thinking of it as a problem and think of it as a gift. It's just something you need to train and learn and understand. The second tip is get to know your space as a sensitive person, like who are you really versus everyone else's energies. And this seems really challenging, but in the book, we call this method STOEM, stillness through observing internal movement. It's a technique. I also call it stillness on the fly, and I tell a funny story about how I really am not very good at sitting meditation. So I like being busy. I like moving. Sitting for 60 minutes at a time doesn't work for me, okay? It doesn't work for my schedule, and I was never that good at it, and chose not to be good at it. Some people are very natural at that. I am not. So it's like, what about the rest of us who don't do that, right? How do we get into a place where we are completely calm and know who we really are without having to sit there for 60 minutes contemplating our navels or whatever? So the STOEM method actually gets people to inhabit their bodies by observing the inside of their bodies and feeling energy in their bodies. And we have a whole technique on how to do that. It's not hard. Children do it all the time when we teach it to them. It's very, very simple. Nobody's ever taught people that. So if you feel inside your body, you feel energy running, what happens is that your attention comes into the present moment. And there's many meditation teachers that have said to do that, but I just really didn't understand what they meant. It's like I can only chew slowly for so many times and then I get bored, right? I'm just not going to be mindful chewing. It's not my thing. But if I'm just angry, for example, at something, then I can just tune into my body and feel the energy in my body. And when we do that, we actually get to know ourselves really well. We get to be in our home, in our place. And then anything that is other energies starts to actually fall away. So it's actually a natural way of clearing negative energy just by honing into what author Penny Pierce talks about as your home frequency. So we teach you how to connect to that home frequency so you feel more of you and less of everyone else. And I think those two are really, really important. And the third tip is you got to learn some discernment. You have to learn what is yours and what is not yours. Of course, the first step is knowing who you are and feeling your body and what is you and what isn't you. But there are some skills involved. So if people have superpowers, you might as well learn how to use them. I can't tell you how many superhero movies I've watched, and I love them, where the superhero gets brand new superhero powers, right? They're what? They're flying into walls and bumbling around and breaking things because they just can't quite control their powers yet. But when they do, the results are amazing. And they actually have a little freebie that people can download and talk about at the end of the call where I talk about these three tips and then some actionable steps that they can take right away so they can feel better.
That is a wonderful gift, and for sure we will share that with the audience. But I wanted to ask you before we close a question about with all of the amazing work that you're doing, especially people who are highly sensitive, when you're working with them and also the book going out to the whole entire world, when you look at these things that you're accomplishing and you're contributing to the world, if you were to look at it almost like a legacy that would impact the entire globe, what would that look like for you? What would you want that to look like for Karen?
Well, that's been very clear to me from the get-go because I'm a big picture person, so I'm always looking at the big picture. And I like to say that world peace is an inside job, meaning that as we resonate the frequency of love and peace within ourselves as often as possible, which is something, like I said, we talk about in the book, being in your home frequency actually does that, then I see a world where people that are highly sensitive have a job to do, if you will, because they're the ones that can connect really, really easily to this place, even though they're having difficulty sometimes in the outside world. Some people call them the canary in the coal mine, meaning that they know before the rest of the world knows, for example, that electromagnetic frequencies like 5G are harmful. They feel horrible. They feel terrible. They're in the hospital because they're so sensitive to it. And so if all of these folks were really harnessing their superpowers, then our children will no longer need to be medicated for what we perceive as a depression or anxiety disorder. The number of disorders in the DSM Psychiatric Manual of Disorders has multiplied multiple times. It used to be a very thin book, and now it's freaking huge because we keep making up disorders for things that we see every day. So I'm imagining children not needing to be medicated for their superpowers, that they can feel calm and still and happy, that sensitive men and women be in places of leadership and lead from the heart and lead in a place of sustainability and love so that all people on the planet can thrive in harmony and peace. So people with superpowers, and I talk a little bit more detail in the book, have a very, very important role in actually ushering in a brand new era of harmony and peace for the whole world. So that's what I'm going for.
Wow. That's such a big picture. That is for sure. And what a beautiful picture that is that you paint. Karen, thank you so much for being with us today. And you've been so generous with your time and all this wonderful information. But you mentioned you have even more information available to our listeners. So can you share a link and tell us a little bit about what they'll find there?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much, Vicki. So I have a little freebie. It's called the Sensitive Soul Empowerment Guide. It's a PDF, and in it is the three ways of navigating your way to more peace, positivity, and personal power so that you can fulfill your mission and really enjoy your life. The link to that is sensitivesoulguide.com. And so we actually just briefly touched on a couple of mistakes that sensitive souls make that are preventing them from feeling that peace and joy, and then what you need to do instead of that. And some of the skills, there's two of them that are actually in the Sensitive Soul Guide for free as well. The STOEM is actually in there, how to do stillness through observing internal movement. And also the other one is Transformational Telepathy, Level 1. That is how to resolve conflict quickly and easily and gracefully. And those instructions are also in the Sensitive Soul Guide because sensitive souls in particular have great challenges with relationships. They do not want to feel any anger or sadness coming from someone else because they feel it double in their own bodies. So I give you those instructions on how to do that. And, of course, the book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower, has much more detailed and expanded information in it as well for sensitive souls to thrive in all areas of their life.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much. So give that link one more time because I want to make sure everyone has a chance to take advantage of that.
Sure. It is sensitivesoulguide, all one word, .com.
Wonderful. And everyone, you can find her wonderful book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower, on Amazon and other major booksellers online. And if you were interested in more information about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at expertinsightspublishing.com. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week.